WPTF Weekend Gardener. I think we're all here. We got a little echo in the background. But the farmer's market is where we are this morning, and it is it's chilly. They even opened the door, so somebody's delivering something here today. Morning, ladies. Oh, my
Thank
gosh.
You.
It must be 321 coffee.
It is.
Yeah.
Got to have some for my feet and some for my hands.
Good, good NC State people. I'm warm this morning.
I'm up warm here, but my legs and feet.
Your legs?
Legs and feet are a little cold.
We need to wear some long johns.
Well, you little sissies, I grew up where this would be very mild weather in Boone.
Yeah, it probably would be. You had to milk the cows, didn't you?
Oh, good gracious. Yeah. I always used to say, did these things ever freeze up? And no, they never would. I figured out a way to get a little extra sleep, though. I could put my head in the flank of the cow and take a little nap and still milk. Well, that's called very, very
I can understand
extreme
that.
Multitasking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could certainly understand that. But, yeah, I apologize for my voice this morning. It's a little rusty. Of course, I apologize for my voice most of the time anyway, but it's all I got.
You're the voice. Well, the voice
doom.
Of PTF.
The voice of doom. At any rate, we're so glad to be out here, and yes, Miss Monica will be here at some point, but she sent me something here, Taste of Winter series events. And
this is a good start for the Taste of Winter here.
Yeah.
Good 3-2-1.
Yeah, that's, I think that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
But, the shops are we're the market shops, by the way. We're not outside.
Thank goodness.
We're sort of outside because all the doors are open, I think. You okay, Harrison? Okay. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF, if you might call us. Phil brought some, as usual, brought some pastries this morning.
Apple fritters, and they're still warm.
The staff back at the station are going to be very disappointed.
I know.
That we keep,
I'm so
we
sorry.
Keep dragging you out on these remotes, and you're not making it into the studio.
Well, now, this was a good one for me, about a quarter of a mile over the bridge to the Lake Wheeler Road address.
It was easy for you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You could almost get in your sled last week and come down here.
Yeah.
You know, you're wearing some. Who gave you those glasses, Rufus?
Well,
because I went to Melissa and I last Saturday went to Haley Bales, little steak restaurant in Siler City.
Yeah.
Where I got your fancy glasses last time.
Well, those are for Sunday go to meeting glasses.
But I got you some more, and they're very much like that. Very professorial. I like those. They look really good on you, Rufus.
Yeah, well, these are Dollar Tree, too. But
how about that?
So you have me another pair of glasses?
Yeah, I got you some. These are fancy looking. They're a little more tortoiseshell than those, but they're outstanding. It's ironic that you're wearing them this morning.
Well, thank you.
Okay, well.
When you have,
I forgot to bring them at any rate.
When you have readers, you have to have them lying around everywhere because you can never, I can
well,
never
you,
find
you
mine.
Could hang a mule trace chain around you, around your neck.
Oh, I bet I've got 35 or 40 pair. But, you know, Dollar Tree went up. It's a dollar quarter now for glasses.
Yeah.
You know, really, that's,
it's hard to come out with that quarter, isn't it?
Isn't it something? I think it's one of the greatest marketing ideas I've ever had. It's a Dollar Tree. Everything there for a dollar, but now, no, everything's gone up.
Well, they do the best they can. Hard times.
But if you really want to get some glasses,
I think they're more apropos.
I did this for Monica.
Even though that's for watermelons.
Yeah.
It's not. It's more a snowball. You need some snowball glasses or Frosty the Snowman glasses or something.
Oh, there you go. That would be nice.
Yeah, it would. Oh, Chris Hooks dragged himself in.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Chris is going to get me because I haven't been to check his drainage, but I have his address, and I'm going to check his drainage out at his house.
Is that?
Yes.
Are you a drainage expert, too?
Not an expert, but I can go and look and see what might be going on there.
Why don't you ride home with him this morning? You know, you can leave the show early if you want to and ride home with him.
Well,
so
I'll
put you on the spot.
What happened to all your hair, Chris?
Chris does that. He's afeard of losing it all, so he figures if he cuts it short, it won't grow as fast.
He's still got more than I got.
Eat a cinnamon bun or whatever they
are. Our engineer's got a head of hair there, man. Fritters.
Yeah, he's got all the hair we ever will ever need, I think. How's your father, the mayor of Mebane? Mayor Hooks. Good. Got his hand full down there, building up. That whole place is building up. It's going to be bigger than Greensboro before long.
Yeah. I sold my land too early in Mebane.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
That's right. Well, at any rate.
I've never been to a Bucky's. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I sold.
I have passed by one in on 95 in Florence, but that's as close as I've gotten. It was a real marvel. I understand that it's hard to get out of, once you get in, it's hard to get out of the parking lot for some reason because it's just, you know, hundreds of pumps and, or 100 pumps, something like that. I don't know. But I haven't been to one. I'll try and make it to that one. But, Phil, I always associate you with pansies. So how have the flowers, the pansies, and the plants that like that we're associate with winter are doing this week?
Well, they're very cold, and they're very, if you did not keep them watered, they're freeze-dried. As a matter of fact, a landscaper came up yesterday, and he said, I've got freeze-dried pansies. And I said, well, that's because you didn't keep them watered. But I know it's hard to keep water on them right now, but because you got to watch out for your spigots and that sort of thing, but you do need to keep water on everything that you can because it is dry.
Now they will survive even freeze dried, right?
Well, it's going to hurt them pretty bad. You're going to have to pinch them back and clean them up, clean the dead leaves off and things. But the roots, the roots will survive. I mean, my aunt used to plant pansy roots like in November, and then they'd come out and bloom like March. But I did notice that. Some of the pansies there in the flats, which, you know, that's pretty harsh that they're still in the flat. They're starting to bloom out. Briley, my little great-granddaughter, was like, flowers, and she wanted to pick some of the flowers.
Absolutely.
And they're starting to bloom out, even though it's so cold. But the water is the most important thing. Not too much, but you've got to keep some water on them.
Well, I know that it was recommended to water any of your newly planted plants.
Yes, because the roots are right on top of the ground.
Yeah, before it got really cold.
Right.
Well, I have a rule. If you plant something, even if it's raining, water it.
Right.
I learned that from Phil Campbell.
You need to water it first, and then you just need to kind of monitor it and let it go, because it's going to have to grow without water at some point.
Well, as you said, a lot of people had unhooked their hose, which I did. All seven outlets around the place.
Wow.
And the big question is when you put them back on there so you can water a little bit.
Well, I think you're probably after tonight or tomorrow night, you'll probably be okay. I mean, 30's 31, and if the sun's out like it is today, and it's going to be 30, 31, it's probably not, my rule at the nursery is probably not going to hurt my solenoids and my pipes, but because it's warm all day.
Right.
But if it's going to stay like it's been for the past week, I mean, that's just, that's taking a big chance.
Well, mine were buried down one time, and I always remember about 30 years ago, this young man that lived beside me said, let's bury him in the ground. And that helps tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendously.
It does.
Unless it gets close to 15, I don't unhook my hoses. I've never had one burst yet.
Wow. Now, that's something that that plumbers usually recommend, but.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely, if it's on the side of your house and you don't have frost-proof spigots, you might be in trouble. I noticed that Swift Creek Shopping Center yesterday, their major line to the whole shopping center broke.
Oh, wow. That's
so
not
good. So the town of Cary stayed out there all day. So, and, I mean, that was in the ground and under cement. So.
It's hard to, hard to remember a time when we would keep our kitchen faucets, a faucet running, dripping, and the doors open to the bottom of the plumbing area. For such an extended period.
I think we had like 72 hours. We were talking about
that
a few minutes
ago.
Yeah,
and that was, you know, that was predicted. The Weather Service predicted we'd have that. So it's been really interesting. I didn't mind the cold weather as much as I did the snow and having to drive in that, but I didn't have any problem with it. I mean, you know.
Especially if you were the first one to drive on it.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't many people out when we were driving. So it was okay.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, let's ease the concern of some of my friends. They're talking about they're afraid that this weather has killed their bloom, say, on the Japonica camellias. I said, no, you'll have a few that turn brown, but they're not dead. They're very resilient.
Well, and they are, and that's why they bloom when they bloom, and that's why they're. I mean, normally plants are bred to have a certain bloom time, and they're protected in that way. I noticed there's japonicas at the nursery. We've got them in 5-gallon pots, and they're starting 3 and 5-gallon pots, and they're starting to, you know, the leaves are looking a little burnt and that sort of thing. But we haven't protected them. We've left them sitting right there. We're going to find out.
Right. Right.
No, and by next week, there should be some new blooms coming out, some new buds coming
out. Right.
Yeah. And you used to talk about all the secondary blooms that camellias have. And so that's a really marvelous plant. And that's why you have so many of them, Rufus. And that's why they are very old. They can be very, very old plants, just like azaleas.
I have some 40 years old. I got most of mine came from Phil over the years. Some 30, some 40, some 30, some go as high as the apple blossom, 25 feet. Professor Sargent, I'm looking at that one.
Mike Rayleigh here for the aluminum company.
Just right now, I think if you have 2 weeks of nice weather, they're just going to go crazy. I love Professor Sargent.
I do. I think my favorite.
And we had
a Yuletide.
A little history in that last. Somebody on the show last week.
Yeah.
We looked it up.
Very good.
About who Professor Sargent was.
All right.
And he wasn't from state.
Wasn't from state. How about that? More of the Weekend Gardener coming up from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh here on WPTF. It's 8:21.
Thank you.
Back in y'all talking about Abraham Lincoln? I have no idea where his mom's grave is, Phil. We're back on WPTF at the Weekend Gardener, and we're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh, and having a good time talking about frozen flowers this morning. Everything else is frozen.
Well, I looked at the daphnes this morning.
They ain't open.
2 weeks away.
You think 2 weeks away?
I believe so.
Wow.
Mine's not. I've got one that's under that shell, under the pergola.
Yes.
Where you walk in, half of it died. It was like two stems coming out. coming out, and half of it died and half of it's still alive, so, which is really crazy, but it's doing well, and it's probably going to bloom out this week.
Well, I noticed this morning, too, I have some of the hybrid hellebore that you gave me. They're blooming.
Yes.
they're very early, the hybrids. And then there will be thousands and thousands of others all over the place.
Well, it's Rufus, you were talking about camellias. What are your camellias looking like now? You were talking about people are afeard of losing some blooms because of this very cold weather.
We had this odd thing of a sort of a hybrid blooming. Some of the cyclas and the japonicas started blooming at the same time because of this odd weather. And I would say I've got about 30 around the place of japonicas, and almost all of them are up to the bloom stage of as big as the end of your little finger, or Professor Sargent, as big as the end of your thumb. And the weather, if they've been opened enough that the weather got them, they've turned brown. But if they're in the bud stage, they're okay.
Yeah.
But I've seen them on the place for now 40 years, and I've learned to predict. I remember one time we had weather here that was 10 degrees, and that almost killed everything. I remember I had to cut back my young crepe myrtles, and they're back flourishing now, 40 feet tall. But that 10-degree weather was a tough one for things in this area. You remember that, Phil?
Yes, that was tough.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure.
But I still recommend, I've never had any disease problem except a few little mealybugs on the back of the leaves of the camellias. Never had any problem otherwise. I never fertilized them. I know Ann used to love to put cottonseed meal.
Yeah, she was a big advocate of that. Do you not use that?
I don't use anything on mine. I mean, I hate to say it. They might do better, but they're doing.
Well, she probably didn't after a while, since she had about 200. But
right.
That was what she felt was the best fertilizer for camellias, if you want to use one. So.
Well, I went down one time to get a 50-pound sack of it and did it one time because of Ann's advice, and I haven't done it since.
Did you tell any difference?
No.
Okay.
I think the rain washed it away.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't have the time to do that. I try to just enjoy them as they are, and I mean, a lot of people don't have the time to remember to do. I guess that's my biggest thing, is to remember to do it at the proper time and that sort of thing. So I just kind of let them go.
Yeah, but yours are just absolutely beautiful.
Well, they're planted in the right places.
What are the right places for camellias?
I've got mine planted in a pine, in that pine woods for the most part, where they get the filtered light of the pine trees. I don't know what the is, but that's where mine are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're, how old are they?
Some of them are 50 years old.
How about that? Yeah. All right. We've already gone through a half hour here just messing around.
Good gracious.
Yeah, the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. Mike Raley here, along with Rufus Edmondson and Phil Campbell, owner of Campbell Road Nursery in Raleigh. We'll return. At the Farmers Market in Raleigh. Let us pause for a minute as Rufus enjoys a
sucks
apple.
Down a apple fritter.
Yeah. You look very, very, as I mentioned off the air, you look very professorial this morning.
Well, thank you.
Those readers are very good, and I like those.
And this is a great, wonderful apple strudel.
Yeah.
Is it strudel?
It's an apple fritter.
Did your mommy ever tell you not to eat so fast?
Mm.
Yeah, don't eat.
Yeah, and get your elbows off the table.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet all those boys had their arms. That was a weighted down table.
Five boys and one girl.
Yeah.
I bet you had to get your chicken fast, so you didn't get your hand stuck with a fork.
Did your mama
right?
just make one chicken?
Well, you know, my dear daddy, He used to say, I want the back and the neck. Well, you know what he was doing. He was saving that good meat for us.
That's the way my father-in-law was. Every time he chose a piece, he was getting into just the sheer bones. The girls would want that because, you know, their daddy wanted it. I mean, they just love their daddy so much.
My favorite piece is the wing.
Oh, my.
You like the wing?
I love chicken wings.
Huh. How about that?
If I have a whole big pot, a whole big whatever barrel of chicken, yeah, fried chicken,
right,
I'll get the chicken wing.
I get chicken legs.
One time I asked my mom, I said, well, why does daddy like the back and the neck? She said, so you boys can have the good meat.
That's right.
Yeah. And my heart just, later years,
that's
the way
Tom Reeves was.
What a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It's very
kind. Good daddy. You can tell that the way y'all were raised. All right, but yeah, come by while they last here and get you a pastry from us, from Phil.
Yes. It looks warm outside, doesn't it?
It looks, it's a very pretty winter scene.
It is.
The pine straw and mm-hmm. the deciduous trees with no leaves, and it's very very pleasant out there, and you know it feels nice in here. So we're fine. Come join us here at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh with WPTF Weekend Gardener. Ken is with us. Ken, good morning.
Good morning. Hope you're having a great morning.
We are having a wonderful morning.
Right.
How about you?
I'm fine. Having a nice hot cup of coffee.
Yeah, good.
All right.
How can we help you, Ken?
I have a question. I want to know where I can find golden oregano. I heard you guys on the remote two or three years ago down at the convention center.
Yes.
Growing along a wall. And it was
There was a whole bed of it.
And it was not on a wall. It was in a bed on the Salisbury Street side.
And it'll trail down the wall. But
it's beautiful. It was in September.
Right. We have it every year. So
you have
we'll
it
have some
store.
Soon. We don't have it right now, but we will have it soon.
Yeah, you'll find that most nurseries, including Campbell Road, will get the bulk of their inventory in starting in March.
Sometime in March.
Well, herbs come in usually fairly early.
Right.
And then your bedding plants come in later, because I get some bedding plants from Phil and
right.
Man, I carry them down to the coast, and man, do they go crazy. They just love it.
I bet so.
Oh, I bet that's beautiful. I love it because it's a nice, it has nice foliage color. And, I mean, it
kind
smells
of a yellow.
Good, too, but it has nice foliage color, and it's a good ground cover.
Does it have a nice flavor?
You know, I haven't tried it, but...
it is edible, isn't it?
I think it should be, but I'll check on that.
I tried to go to Phil into trying it, but we were afraid of the police out there. I was picking that stuff off the.
I don't know. I'll check on that, Ken, and I'll let you know here on the show here in a few minutes, okay?
Okay, fine. So you'll have it in the. Now,
we will have
it
sometime in March, yes.
One piece, would it spread?
Yes, it will.
Is it invasive?
I would not call it invasive. If you just let it go, it's going to cover an area, but it should be very easy to get rid of because it's growing pretty much right on top of the ground, and I don't think it would be that hard to clear it out.
Because my Italian oregano, it's almost invasive. I mean, it's difficult to pull up. It's in an herb bed.
It's
gone crazy. I'm digging out the bed completely.
Yeah, well, that's one reason I like to do, like, either container gardens or herb beds, like raised beds, because then the roots cannot get to the ground.
Oh, yeah, these are raised. This is a raised bed, and I'm switching it to containers.
Right. And that's a good idea for herbs.
10 or 12-inch container, one piece should cover that pretty well, and it can cascade over a little wall.
That's right.
Ken, you sound like an herbalist. You like to raise herbs?
Well, I'm totally blind, and I like them so I can smell them.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
It's the first thing I do a lot of times is smell a plant. I mean, it's just a habit.
Right.
So Yeah, that's great.
What's your favorite fragrance, Ken, herbs or not?
My fragrance? I like the smell of a rose. Mr. Lincoln's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
And I also like basils. I like the smell of basils. You know, it just depends on what type of plant it is.
Well, Mr. Lincoln smells is just as beautiful as it smells. So I can tell you that I guess that's just the way plants are, because it is a very beautiful rose, and it does smell wonderful.
It is.
Right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call, and I enjoy your show.
Ken, thank you so much
for listening and calling. I'll let you know about the golden
oregano. Okay, definitely.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. All right, we're back here. We're just zipping right along this morning with WPTF Weekend Gardener at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We're in the market shops where it smells just like it did before Christmas. It feels like we were just here. Well, I guess we were almost. We're sometime in the teens of December, 19th, something like that. Just 12th, I don't know, sometime just before Christmas. And smelled just like this because the Market Bakery is there. And they're making that cinnamon bread and sourdough bread and all that they make down there. And the Market Grill is just down the other way, and they are cooking something here. I don't know what we have here.
What do we have here?
I don't know.
How are you doing?
My wife and I own the Cookie People business.
What is it?
Oh, okay.
What's the business?
The Cookie People.
The Cookie People.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, pull that microphone out there, Rufus, and talk. Let Rufus interview him here.
All right, you.
Yeah, you're a cookie expert, Rufus.
I'm a cookie man.
Yeah.
So what do you do? What's your best selling cookie?
You know, probably the classic chocolate chip after all this.
Oh, amen.
Everybody loves chocolate chip.
And tell people out here where you're located to come by and see and get a cookie.
Right. So we've been situated out here at the main tent area of the market here since 2008. And we also have a storefront 2 miles up the road at Mission Valley Shopping Center. And we've been there for going about 5 years now. So.
Okay. And you have, I'd love to go by and look at your flavors.
Yeah.
How many flavored cookies do you have now?
Yeah, currently we usually do typically 15 flavors plus some seasonal ones. So.
Wow. Okay.
Did you know you were talking to the Cookie Monster?
Oh, absolutely.
That's him.
Yeah. Well, chocolate chip is my favorite cookie.
Yeah, we got some chocolate chip for you today, plus some sugar, snickerdoodles.
Oh, I was going to ask, do you have
snickerdoodles?
That's what we used to have at school, or my kids used to have at school. They didn't have snickerdoodles when I was around.
Yes, that'd be a nice name for a dog or a cat.
That's right.
Snickerdoodle.
Yeah. I like that.
We do them really big.
So. Oh, wow.
Well, thank you. And
thank you very much. Yeah.
Have a good day.
You too.
All right.
The cookie shop.
How about that?
And you know, my favorite thing to get when I was in high school was to go to Ashworth's drugstore, which is no longer there, but the Ashworths are still around, and get an orangeade. Oh, that and here we are.
Yeah,
right,
we all had drugs. Did y'all have a drugstore there in Boone?
Oh,
yes. Boone drugstore.
That had fountain drinks.
Had fountain drinks.
Yeah, we had Nashville and Ward Drug Company.
Believe it or not, I had three brothers, Richardsons, who were the druggists.
Uh-huh.
All three of them were druggists.
Why, did they fight over the product?
Well, sort of Mutt and Jeff. One of them was real short, I remember. His name was O.K. Richardson. And he'd look up at Ronald, who was about 6'2", and O.K. was about 5'5". Then the other one was sort of, I don't know what he was.
Yeah.
He was just there. He was a supervisor, I
suppose. Three druggists in Boone.
Wow, smart guys.
Richardson. I says, is this a law firm?
Yeah, we used to get cherry smash or either orangeade.
Yeah, we liked orangeade, lemonade.
Yeah.
This all ice cream.
Oh, by the way, I understand that there's a pastry place going into the old Ashworths. Drugstore.
Oh, yeah. It's a bakery that's
Blue
there.
Moon's
Blue Moon Bakery.
Over.
Yes.
See, Blue Moon was behind there.
Yeah.
It's an outstanding bakery.
So they're going to just move right over.
Yeah, and they're going to expand. And I think they'll probably revive some of what Ashworth's had, maybe sandwiches or something like that. Well, if they make sandwiches the way they make cookies and pastries and stuff, it's going to be outstanding. But it'll be another nice place for folks to, you know, get that hometown feel.
Oh, yeah.
Small town attraction, so, yeah.
Well, how would you like to hear the Cliff Joyner saying of the day?
Anytime, yes.
All right, now, here we go. I attribute my success to this. I never give or took any excuse. Florence Nightingale.
Well,
right.
Good old Florence.
Mr. Curtis said the same thing to me. I won't take any excuses.
No snow, no sleep.
No, that's right. You better get in there, boy.
But she said, remember this, she was tough. I never took or gave any excuse.
I agree. The older I get, the more I feel like that, I think.
Just
she
do
said,
your
shut
job.
Up and stop bleeding.
Yeah, that's right.
Just do your job.
Do your job, that's right.
Well, that's my philosophy. That's how I have survived. Phil, next week is going to be a very, very special commemoration.
It is. It's the 40th anniversary.
Of this show.
Yes, of the Weekend Gardener.
Or the 80th anniversary of the Tar Heel Weekend Gardeners.
Tar Heel slash Weekend,
John
yes.
Harris.
Yes, bless him. And we are so we're excited and appreciative that we can have that out at Campbell Road Nursery. And we'll have signs at each end of Campbell Road if you haven't been down to the nursery. And we'll be looking forward to everyone coming. Come early or come mid-morning or come as the show's ending. We're going to have we'll have food and coffee early. And then we'll have more food for around an early lunch. So we'll just have a warm place to sit and enjoy each other and take pictures if you want to and look at flowers.
Our award-winning Hall of Famer, it's his 40th.
Yeah, it's my 40th That's anniversary right. As a host.
So come down and see the one and only Mike Raley, CNN News.
I hope that some of the former or some of the current and former people. Nelson Cox tells me that I asked Nelson if she knew Sean Gerken, who was an extension agent in Johnston County. And anytime Irv was away, he always chose somebody, an extension agent or a master gardener who was just outstanding. So he would brought in Lewis Howe and Sean Gerken and Pam Beck and Ann Clapp, for instance, to fill in for him. And Sean Gerken was by far one of the best that I ever had. And he left the Extension Service years ago, but he's a friend of Nelson's, and he said he was going to come by.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So I'm just, I'm really happy about that, and I hope we'll see some of the folks or hear from them.
Well, I saw Henry Burke, he was my brother's age, and, of course, helped run Burke Brothers. And he is he and Terry Parton, who are just grew up with and played baseball with Bryant Woodall. They're just all neighborhood kids, and they all listen to the Weekend Gardener. And I saw them the other day, and they said they were going to try to come by.
Good.
So
great.
It's I'm just
well, if you've never
like
been to Phil's place, though, that's an adventure in itself.
It's
like
a community.
Little village.
It's a community. It really is. Yeah.
And got a fire pit out there, so if it's a little chilly. Don't worry.
Well, we'll be inside.
Well, we're going to be inside, and it's going to be warm, and we'll have a place for everyone to sit.
Yeah.
So don't not come because.
Are you going to bring out the pews? You going to have pews in there, or?
No, we've got some tables.
We've got the right reverend here. I didn't know if he had a sermon.
We can always get something cranked up in there.
It's
not a problem at all.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Not a problem.
All right. Well, we look forward to. 40th anniversary celebration of the Weekend Gardener
we look
next
forward
year,
to having
or 80
everyone.
Years. Let anybody, maybe in the world, top that. I don't, except for at least gardening show. The Grand Ole Opry's got us beat. But, you know, and music and the spoken word is the oldest radio program that's still going.
Wow.
Where is that?
It's on, I mean, it's something that we have run, we ran for many, many years. It's a religious program that you would hear on Sunday mornings.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so that's still running and nationally. I don't know if the BBC has anything. They do have a garden. They do have garden programming there, but I don't know how long a show they have had. But I think we pretty much beat them all. 80 years of continuous show, programming, gardening programming. So pretty neat.
Well, speaking of gardening again, let's. I would like to suggest that people start thinking this spring about putting in plants that are like bird friendly.
Oh, and, I just love
and animal, just animal friendly, yeah. But bird friendly.
I love watching the birds this time.
Yeah.
We don't put out as much seed during the summer.
Right.
They have, you know, there's more availability for them, but we do some. But during the winter, we really, especially during a week like this, we definitely try to keep the seed in there.
Right.
And it's so much fun to watch them.
But now's a good time to be thinking about that and looking to see what you might want to. What are, you know,
what would they like?
Right.
What would they
some
like,
good plants.
You think?
You know, you can talk to the people that do birding and that sort of thing, some of the wild birds people or something like that, and they can make suggestions for you and just do some research on that, because it's very important to for them not to have to specifically go to a feeder, because there's not that many feeders around, and, you know, they need something in the wild.
Now, Phil, if you don't mind, I'm not going to encourage squirrels.
You said
help all animals.
Well, you need to try to.
I'm not going to encourage those little boogers.
Well, I throw peanuts out for them.
Oh, man.
Are we going to ask for an injunction?
Well, I put peanuts out on the ground for the squirrels, well, and that keeps them out of the bird feeder.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So you eat one and you throw another one on the ground?
No,
is that the way it works?
Carlton eats one. And
yeah.
He loves peanuts.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what plants, anything with, well, not anything, but a lot of things with berries.
We know there's a new bestseller out. I think it's a bestseller. It's the elderberry, the book, The Elderberry. And, you know,
they get drunk off that.
I don't know if they do or not, but birds love elderberries, and they're one of the first trees to bloom, and we've got some.
Really?
In the spring.
How about that?
We brought some in just for that reason. I've got some of the books, and I've got the.
How big do they get?
Well, these are pretty good size. We got them from my buddy, so they're pretty good size, and they look really good.
They're coming out. They'll grow up to be 20, 30 feet, won't
they? Yeah, they'll get big.
Elderberry.
Now, this is the Eastern
elderberry. Oh, you make
elderberry.
A lot of wine.
This is the Eastern elderberry. We're going to get some of the Western elderberry, too, because that's the one the book's about.
Okay. All right. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh.